Welcome to the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abriscoe, letting you know anything that you may have missed from St. Joe today out at Chiefs training camp. Also, some stuff from the weekend we didn't have a chance to get to last night. We'll go through all of the news of the day today. It's at the safety position. Maybe have something to say about what the Chiefs could be doing there. And then tomorrow night we'll be back from this around the same time to talk about all the things you should be watching for whenever it comes to Thursday night's preseason game. But right now, we'll let you hear from the guys that you want to hear from. It's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, a bunch of guys from yesterday and over the weekend. But before we hear from those guys, I want to let you know the news out of camp right now. And honestly, at this point, the most severe injury, I would say, by a decent margin. Daniel Sorensen, of this report being from former Chiefs beat reporter Herbie Tiopi, said Chiefs safety Daniel Sorensen, whom the Chiefs are evaluating for a knee injury, does not have a torn ACL, but he is expected to miss time, possibly into the early part of the regular season, with a leg injury, according to a source. And as much as I don't love Daniel Sorensen being this team's number two safety beside Eric Berry, I like this team's safety depth with him more than without him. A couple of names will come up right away. My first thought was that Eric Reed is still available, a guy who's gotten, I think he had an interview or visit set up maybe even just earlier this week. But he is still a free agent, and he was one of those guys who is deeply associated with Colin Kaepernick. He was the first guy to kneel alongside Kaepernick. My assumption at this point is that he wouldn't be in the league. He would be in the league if it wasn't for that. So will the Chiefs even take a look at Eric Reed? I don't know at this point. It's good that it's not a long-term season-long injury. It may be a slightly long-term, but not a season-long injury for Daniel Sorensen. But if it goes into the early part of the regular season, we're talking 6 to 8 weeks, perhaps, maybe on a more optimistic side. It's more like 4 weeks. But, man, my assumption at this point would be that the Chiefs will stand relatively firm with the guys they currently have in their secondary. Eric Murray gets another shot or gets a larger shot. And then a guy like Armani Watts right out of the draft ends up getting some more work. I do have my concerns, though. I've had my concerns about the secondary before Daniel Sorensen got hurt. My hunch is that Daniel Sorensen isn't the stopper in this secondary on that sort of level, that he's not the guy that is going to make or break how the secondary goes, obviously. But if he was going to be the starter in that group beside Eric Berry, the defense is significantly worse without him. Even whenever that's not a high-level starter, in my opinion. So Daniel Sorensen's going to miss some time with his injury that he suffered in camp today. And Andy Reid started off by listing out all the injuries, eventually getting to Daniel Sorensen. Now we know, again, before you hear anything from Reid here and the questions from the reporters, now we know, again, the report is that Sorensen is going to miss some time, not with a torn ACL, but will miss time possibly into the early part of the regular season. Now let's hear what Andy Reid had to say after practice today in St. Joe.
This is what you got. Today, Eric Berry, we gave him a day off today. And then, again, that's just all part of this recovery thing. So, and then Tim Wright was sick. Those were really the only new ones for you. Dylan Gordon didn't practice. Dan Sorensen didn't practice. Sammy Watkins didn't practice. Leon McQuay, Dorian O'Daniel, Keith Reeser, and Charkandrick West. They're all making progress. Everybody's heading in the right direction. But anyway, that's what we got. So as far as the game goes, I'll give the quarterbacks each a quarter. And then it kind of follows that way with the ones, the twos, and the threes. There's some fours that'll fall in that fourth quarter there. So, and we'll keep it at that. All right? Any questions?
What's Sorensen's injury?
So Dan hurt his knee. And then he's being evaluated. We're just going to see here exactly where that thing's going. So, yeah.
When you watch Patrick playing this week, you look at him with a different eye than you would look at him last year in the preseason because he's your starting quarterback. What do you expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was curious to see him play last year, and he did a nice job. It is a different role for him. But I expect him to just go play, right? Go do your thing. And being working with the ones, you know, there's a little bit more to it than if you're a backup and no, you're not playing. But that's expected.
Are there situations, scenarios that you're sort of hoping to come across in that first quarter just because you can't really simulate them out here?
Yeah, you know, we've got a few games here, so I'm just expecting the guys to go out and play. I mean, when you're only going the first quarter, talking about a couple series, you know, possibly maybe three if you work it out all right. So, you know, just go play and see how you do.
You still looking to bring Spencer back a little bit slowly with the knee?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to get with Rick and kind of go over that list. I haven't done that. I'm just trying to get through today's work. So we'll take a look at all those guys that have been banged up or had surgeries, you know, and evaluate them.
Andy, I saw DeMarcus Robinson back there, I think, working on punt return a little bit. You talked a little bit about special teams, specific to the punt return game.
Yeah, so he did a little bit of that last year for us. And listen, Tobe's got like 10 guys back there every day at the beginning of practice. You guys see that. So, he's one of them. He's got some ability there, and he's real good after the catch. So he's good as a receiver after the catch. That's one of his strengths. And as a punt returner, he's going to go full speed ahead on that. So, and Dave does a good job with that. He gets, you know, these guys had 199 straight catches going without a drop with the punts on that last one, man, to break that 200, bounced off some plastic. But anyway, my point is that they've done a great job with catching them back there and going.
It's going to be a lot of new guys on defense, particularly in that first quarter. Just what would you like to see in the first game?
You're looking for assignment football. You're looking when the juices get going, how you handle that, and you know, you're in the stadium with the fans there. We got a great turnout here, but it's a little different. Lights are on, and you know, it's game time. So it's one more evaluation period that you have a chance to see these guys.
Well, speaking of that evaluation period, I know you've already had a year where now you only have the one touchdown day as opposed to the previous year multiple touchdown days. So now with that experience, how do you go evaluating guys into this game and future preseason games?
Yeah, so the one great thing is you get all of them. So before you have to do anything, and so this is the first one. You always see guys they jockey. So the positions where you've got great competition, you know, it's hard to tell in the first game, but the more they get playing time, then get a better evaluation on it. So you know, if you're just playing a quarter, it's tough to see on it.
How about your kicking game that you guys have? I mean, new kicker this year as opposed to what you had at training camp last year with Butker. Has he been everything you want through camp? You haven't had him through a camp yet.
Yeah, he's done well. He had a rough day yesterday. You know, I gave him the business on that. You know, we were doing a two-minute drill, and it came down, and he missed one there. So, but other than that, he's done very well. And it's hard coming back when expectations are high. Now it's a little different deal. So you got to calm the storm and make sure you stay with your fundamentals and techniques. And he does pretty good with that. He's had a good camp, though. Yesterday, he had the business.
And Dustin, he's still giving you what you want, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what now. He's booming it right now. He's an amazing guy. He's not getting any younger, right? And that ball's still flying off his foot.
Coach, are you intrigued to see how the new kickoff rules actually play out in practice on a real game?
Yeah, I am. We try to go as fast as you can here, but it's not, you know, it's obviously not live on special teams. So I'll be curious to see how, you know, how we do there. So how things work out. Yeah, it's kind of a new avenue.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid after practice today in St. Joe. Again, you heard him talk a little bit about Daniel Sorensen in there, and also a lot of the guys at that safety spot who are moving in the right direction, as he said, not serious. But with Daniel Sorensen, we know that it is serious now, where again the report is that he will miss some time, which very well could play into the beginning of the regular season. A couple of games would be my expectation, simply because it feels like those reports always end up erring in the side of optimism, because a team wants to be optimistic, so they tell the reporter, you know, maybe could miss a couple regular season games, and then maybe we don't see Daniel Sorensen until week 4 or 5. I don't know. There is no extra reporting there on me. That's just a hunch. And again, even though Daniel Sorensen is not an elite safety by any means, and I don't even know if he's should be a starting safety in the NFL. I have lots of questions about him. I've even wondered if the Chiefs would entertain the idea of cutting him this year if Dorian O'Daniel was stepping up, because Sorensen has a contract they can move on from. But everything we've seen so far in camp, Daniel Sorensen was going to be this team's second safety going into the regular season. It's Eric Berry and then Daniel Sorensen, and the rest of those guys, Armani Watts, Dorian O'Daniel, Leon McQuay, Eric Murray. Not necessarily in that order. I'm guessing Eric Murray steps up now. But those guys all compete for that other spot. And that's not how things are looking at this point, because one of those guys has to step in, and then the competition for the other spots gets even more important. And so I have my concerns there for what the Chiefs will be able to do as they try to fix that spot. But it's going to be something else to be watching for come Thursday night, no question, and throughout all of the preseason. Keeping an eye on how those safeties play, even who simply starts out on Thursday night. But tomorrow night we will talk more about what the Chiefs can be expecting to do in their preseason game. Today we're here to hear... that was grammatically correct. We are here to hear from the guys out in St. Joe. Today that also meant quarterback Patrick Mahomes talking to the media.
I was talking to him about the defense, but I'm glad we get to face someone else finally. It's awesome just to get out there and be able to get into that game mode. It's preseason, but at the same time, as a competitor, you want to win. So we're going to go out there and try to win a football game.
What are you looking to get out of that first quarter of work that you're going to get?
Yeah, kind of like I've said the whole camp, I just want to go out there and be efficient. I mean, I'll hopefully get a couple drives, and hopefully can get a couple touchdowns. If it's just drives that end with running touchdowns or throwing touchdowns, whatever, just want to move the ball and be efficient.
Did you get out of this first quarter camp? Get out of it what
you were hoping for? Yeah, I think I did. Got a lot of work, built a lot of good chemistry with those receivers. I think that's a huge deal. We're on the same page on every coverage, it seems like. And as we go into the season, I mean, that stuff's going to be vital.
I have to ask about all of the retweets of the kids who are getting their hair cut like you. Is this a trend? Are you encouraging this?
I don't know if I'm encouraging it, but I mean, if they do it, I'll show them a little respect and give them the retweet. I mean, it's pretty cool. To see kids getting a haircut like mine, I mean, you grow up and I've seen you try to get haircuts like other people, and then for you, your kids to do that to you is kind of an awesome kind of thing.
You can't really change your hair then, though, right?
No, I'm not going to change my hair anytime soon. I mean, eventually when you get to a certain age, I mean, it might be a little too much, but as of right now, I'm good with the hair.
I mean, how long have you had that cut?
Since my freshman year of college. So my freshman year of college, after the freshman football season, we got the cut kind of as a joke with one of my friends, and then I kind of started letting it grow out, and this is where it is now.
Did you have a hair idol when you were young?
I don't know if I necessarily had a hair idol. When I got the cut, I mean, I kind of showed some guys in the league that already had this kind of haircut, and so I kind of modeled it after theirs and started off, and then I did try to make it my own thing as I've gone on.
Who were those guys?
I think the main one I kind of remember is Kenny Stills. He was at Oklahoma. He had the blonde in his hair with the mohawk, and so that was not the same type of hair as I have, but just kind of where I started off with, and now I've tried to make it my own thing.
Patrick, what has to happen Thursday night for you to walk out and be like, okay, I'm good with how that went down?
Yeah, I would say, first off, being able to get in and out of the huddle clean, be able to make the right protection calls, and then go down and hopefully score a touchdown. I mean, that made me a little bit happier. But at the same time, you just want to be efficient, try to limit the mistakes, and have a lot of positive plays.
Are you a guy, if you know you have two series and you don't score, that's in Andy Reid's ear saying, let me do one more?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of. I know he's going to try to keep it to where he's going to try to let everybody play, and he's going to try to get everybody their reps. But if I don't score, I might say something to him.
How much different does this feel for you? You get to play last year in the preseason, but how much different does it feel to go out? It's the first game, you're the starting quarterback, going to Arrowhead Stadium. How much different does it feel?
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of want to see where you're at, get against another team, see exactly kind of how the progress has come along throughout camp and throughout since last year. And so just to go out there, I mean, last year I didn't know what to expect. This year I kind of have a small sample size of what to expect going out there.
You know, it's only the preseason. I know it's only one quarter, but is there some sort of excitement playing against a guy like Deshaun Watson? You guys came out in the same rookie class and being able to play against that guy?
Yeah, I mean, especially playing against another really good quarterback. I mean, Deshaun had a great success when he played last year, so you get to go out there and compete against those guys is what you want to do as a competitor. And I'm excited to get out there and kind of watch how he's kind of bounced back, and I expect him to go out there and play well too.
What are your thoughts about, I mean, you're not hitting as much here in practice, but what are your thoughts about what you've seen from the Chiefs defense this year, and how does it look any different, if at all, from last year?
I know they're trying out a lot of different stuff, a lot of new stuff. They're putting guys in the right position to make plays, and they're making the plays. That's the biggest thing, and so I'm excited for them going into another, playing against another offense to see how those guys react and how those guys go at those guys. I mean, they're going to attack them. They're going to try to make plays, and I'm excited for it.
How much, because you can't really have a big impact on the outcome of the game, so how much on Thursday is going to be just sort of, presence and different things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to try to win. I mean, that's the first thing Coach Reed said, and we kind of started game planning this week, is he doesn't like losing. So, I mean, we're going to go out there. I know as a quarterback group, we're all going to try to go out there and win the game. We're going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to try to encourage those guys. I'm going to help those guys on the sideline. And, I mean, we have a lot of competitors, so hopefully we win the football game.
Personally, I mean, are you going to judge yourself more just on some of the small things, whether it's, presence in the huddle or different things like that at the line of scrimmage?
I mean, not necessarily. I'm just going to try to go out there and play the game the way it's supposed to be played. I'm going to try to go out there and move the ball down the field and hopefully get touchdown drives.
A couple more, guys.
Go ahead. Patrick, when it comes specifically to Tyreek Hill, it looks like he came in a little bit improved on his route running. Are you eager to face somebody else with now what Tyreek's been able to do this offseason?
Yeah, I think we've been improved pretty much everywhere on the offensive side of ball with the receivers and how they've worked and the tight ends and how they've worked. I mean, everybody's trying to really take their game to the next level. And so for me to have those guys and those weapons, I mean, I'm excited to just get out there and being able to put it in their hands and see what they can do and how they make plays.
How big of a deal is it for you to, in your first game, to experience play calling from Eric Bieniemy? I noticed he had the headset on today, mm-hmm. So I think you guys, are working on this here. In the game setting to get, the verbiage and just his voice in your helmet, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like building that chemistry with the receivers, with the play calling and in the huddle and getting in and out of the huddle and how I like it called in and how he calls it in. You want to be on the same page throughout the whole game. And, I mean, you can try to do it in scrimmages type situations, but until you get into that first preseason game, you don't know what to expect. So I'm excited to kind of start building that chemistry with him and having that ready for the regular season.
Last one, Nate.
Patrick. How much did you know about Damian Williams, and what have you learned from camp so far?
Yeah, I mean, I knew a little bit just from watching scouting the Dolphins play. I mean, whenever we watched them play teams that we played, and then I had a few buddies that played on the Dolphins, so I'd heard the name Damian Williams, and I knew he could catch the ball in the backfield, but just seeing the complete back he is, I mean, he's ran the ball really well this camp. He's also caught a really threat out of the backfield to catch it, so. And I think the undervalued part is how well he blocks. I mean, that's good to have a running back that will block for you, even if a big guy comes through there. So I'm excited to have him on the team.
It's quarterback Patrick Mahomes from St. Joe earlier today after practice. I think everybody knows. I know everybody knows. We'll say think just to be safe. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that Thursday night's game is. Is the first preseason game. It doesn't really mean very much. But even for a guy like Patrick Mahomes, and honestly for us in the media and for fans trying to learn about the team and everything, it can be a useful, worthwhile experience. And I think that's what you hear from Patrick Mahomes whenever he's asked what he's looking for. I think as much as it is quarterback speak to say, we want to try to win the game and win the quarter or whatever, as much as I think it is some quarterback speak that doesn't really mean anything because the game doesn't really mean anything, I think it does mean something that a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who's done this exactly one other time, can go and do a game preparing for something and getting some play at that NFL speed, where it's not going to be the complicated defenses that he'll eventually be facing whenever the real season gets here, but I think there is at least something that you can learn once you actually get onto an NFL field. I don't think there's some things that you can learn from practice. And like today, he was super efficient today. And other days, he learns from throwing a bunch of interceptions and stuff. My general thought on most of that is to shrug. It seems like he truly is only making a bunch of these mistakes one time. I talked to Seth Kizer about this a little bit over on ESPN Kansas City earlier today, over on Almost Entirely Sports. You can find the podcast. Podcasts are out there. But I think that it's fair to say that Mahomes is learning from his mistakes, and I think it's also good whenever something good happens. But we get to all sort of see it in a slightly more real-ish situation in the preseason. Well, we can still say that the mistakes aren't a big deal because they don't count, but we can't also say that the good stuff looks good whenever that gets here. So I think that's the mindset that Mahomes has, and I think that's a pretty good mindset to have going into a preseason game. Whenever we come back, we'll start off with Kareem Hunt, who gave us an update on his hamstring, his mindset going into this year. Also talked about his off-the-field incidents from this offseason. That's all coming up next here on Chiefs Central.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe, here with you every weekday, except for days whenever there's a game, which is coming up on Thursday, to tell you everything that you may have missed around the Chiefs, news-wise, audio-wise, from training camp out in St. Joe. And that's what I'm doing right here. We already heard earlier today from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They spoke earlier today, but we just played it. If you missed any of the show, if you ever miss any of the shows, go to 810WHB.com, go to podcast, additional programming, and every single night Chiefs Central will be there for your listening pleasure. You can hear both of those guys, what they had to say earlier today as well. But we have to go back to the weekend and in Monday for a few of these players on yesterday's show, also all available at that exact same location, 810WHB.com, podcast, additional programming. We heard from Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, Bob Sutton, Dave Tobe, and Clark Hunt. So from the coach, the coordinators, and the owner, I thought that put together for a really interesting show yesterday. But today I want to give you a chance to hear from a bunch of the players who we may have missed from these last few days of camp. I'm going to start off with Kareem Hunt because he is a huge part of this offense. He's a part of this backfield. Now he's the headliner in this very strong backfield. With Spencer Ware behind him, and almost certainly at this point, Damien Williams behind him. And he's going to have a big say in how this offense performs, an offense that is extremely high firepower, extremely exciting on paper. I'm sure will be extremely exciting in person. And Kareem Hunt is a big part of it. And he had a couple of incidents this offseason that didn't have, I say incidents, and I actually feel like that's a fair way to put it, like calling Tyreek Hill's domestic abuse charges and admittance and everything, calling those situations an incident would not be fair. The details are demanded in that situation, in my opinion. But for Kareem Hunt, it really is an incident. It's a couple of them. And they've been really strange. And it's not stunning to me that he didn't give a ton of information to the media whenever he spoke in St. Joe. But he did address it for the first time publicly here in this clip. But first, he was asked how his hamstring is feeling.
Good. Great. I've been going full go past 4 or 5 days.
Were you worried about it early on?
I mean, a little bit. I was just being cautious with it and, you know, getting warmed up into it.
How frustrating is it to start training camp and have to spend some time over on the injury time working with that hammy?
I mean, a little bit. It's just, you know, you got to take it day by day and don't force yourself back out there and you hurt or something.
The things that you've done in particular for yourself this offseason to, in particular, I know you think that it's been much in the TAs, what are just some of the things that you've done to improve your game over the this offseason?
I spent a lot of time, you know, running routes with, you know, quarterbacks like Josh Dobbs and some other people I know. Spent a lot of time working on my change in direction and just conditioning-wise.
Is that a big emphasis for you? You want to become even more of a receiving back?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I feel like I got a pretty good game running in between the tackles. I want to make sure I'm squared away with receiving.
As a receiving back, what are your feelings about the NFL clarifying what constitutes a catch?
I feel like it's helpful, and we should have been had the ruling, I guess.
How's the dynamic been with you and Spencer now? Spencer's kind of been back in the mix, and just how you guys are interacting with each other?
Oh, no. Me and Spencer, we're real close, and we're doing everything to help each other, you know, become better, and that's pushing each other and coming out here and working every day.
We had a couple of off-season incidents. What did you take from those?
You know, I'm learning from it, and I'm focused on football.
How did you learn from it? What lessons were there?
And just, you know, being in the right place at the right time. I'm just going to keep thinking about football and go out there, you know, and do my job.
We've heard the crowd, I mean, saying your name a lot. What, you've gotten, obviously, a lot of attention since the last season. What's it been like for you adjusting to being one of those high-profile guys in the league?
Pretty much to me, it's like the same thing. I'm going to come out there and play football and just do my job. And, you know, you're going to have fans around everywhere. So you just got to go out there and, you know, do the best you can.
Was there anyone that could consult you or advise you on how to approach the offseason or how to make best of other situations that may arise in the future?
I mean, kind of. Not really.
Curious if you could kind of take us in the room with Anthony Sherman. I know that he catches the ball every once in a while. You don't get to see a lot of what he means to your guys' room, but do you see what he means to that room and kind of dynamic with him?
Anthony Sherman is a leader. You know, he's definitely, you know, the vocals of our group, and he's just making sure everybody knows what they're doing, because he know everything the running backs have to do, and he plays fullback. And he just always setting the tone, you know, by blocking, getting everybody jumped up, hyped up. And Sherman's a good guy, and I love having a guy like that blocking for you. And he has a sense of humor, you know, coming in wearing a singlet, you know, an American singlet. I don't know what to do with that guy.
Okay, what did Coach Reed say to you about some of the offseason incidents?
Just move forward and, you know, focus on football.
That's Kareem Hunt from St. Joe earlier this week. It's not a perfect answer about the off-the-field, off-season stuff. It's far from it. The response of, I'm looking at football now and I learned my lessons. The follow-up question of what lessons were learned I thought was great. The answer to that one left me wanting more. Not that we are entitled to every iota of information, but a little more than that would have been nice, honestly, to hear more than, you know, about being in the right place at the right time. You can't really learn a lesson about being in the right place at the right time. You can learn that it's bad whenever you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe the answer to that question was about the people that he's around, and not necessarily even the friends. Maybe if he really did nothing, maybe he learned that the people that ended up claiming victimhood were problematic. I think that as a thought process is problematic, and maybe that's why he steered away. Maybe he said, hey, these people that said that I did something or had any sort of quarrel here, these people are the people that I need to keep myself away from. Maybe that's what he learned. Again, that's not my favorite lesson of all time, but maybe that's the truth. And maybe because that's the takeaway, he was intentionally vague. Maybe he learned that he needs to just simply be more careful with the people that are around him. I don't know. And that's the truth of it. Unfortunately, and I can say unfortunately because those answers that we just heard felt a little bit weak to me. So unfortunately, on that level, I think we're probably towards the tail end of it. I'm guessing that there won't be many more questions about that come up unless there is another incident. And having two in the same offseason is a bad sign. But also, fortunately, it wasn't anything anywhere near the seriousness levels that we've seen from other guys currently on this team. So, and again, I'm speaking in very vague terms because these stories are very vague. I've talked very specifically about Tyreek Hill and all of that. Kareem Hunt and this situation is vague and it is weird. And I don't want to jump to anyone's defense or anyone's condemnation because there is so much gray area. And so much that we just don't totally know about for sure. So it's confusing. And I was hoping for more from Kareem Hunt, honestly, whenever he did end up speaking about it. I was hoping that he would say, yeah, so here's what happened. Because if you are being painted in the wrong light, I think the honesty and the truth can do nothing but help your situation, right? That's my feeling, at least. If I was wrongly painted in a situation like that, I would probably be out there the next day going, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Here's every step of this that did actually happen. And maybe there was guilt in both or any number of parties there. Maybe nobody looked great. Maybe that's why nobody seemed to talk about it much more afterwards. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I wish that Kareem Hunt would have been a little more forthcoming whenever he was asked about it. the lack of forthrightness makes me wonder if there's a reason behind that. But I don't know. And I don't even mean to say that I do feel confidently that there's more that we don't know. I truly don't know. But I do wish we would have gotten a little bit more from him. But in all likelihood, that'll be the last that we hear from Kareem Hunt on the matter. I want to hear from Kendall Fuller and Breland Speaks very soon. We'll hear from those guys next segment. But let's stay on the offensive side of the ball and first hear from Chris Conley. He was asked what he's learned about Patrick Mahomes through training camp thus far.
I've learned that he'll take chances. That's good. That's really good. You want to see that out of a gunslinger. And he's getting better every day. He's getting better every day. You can kind of see his, accelerated learning as you come out here. The offense is changing. We're putting in more stuff as camp goes on. But when we come back to things that we put in, say, in OTAs, he still can go back to those and recall things, details and points, and he's building chemistry with these guys really fast.
What about Coach Bieniemy? Does
that change at all your approach to this? Where do you have to be on the fly, for you as a receiver?
You got to be ready for everything. Be ready for anything. I think, as people have watched out here, he can throw it off his back foot, 60 to the backside, clear out post. So, you got to be ready for anything. And he's got good vision, and he's got the arm to get there.
Does that make it more fun for you as a receiver to know that he could throw it, all the way down the field?
100%. Keeps defenses on their toes, and it opens up opportunity for guys who aren't necessarily scripted into that play to make something happen.
Chris, you've worked with Coach Bieniemy now for the whole offseason, but for 2 weeks in training camp, what have you learned from him?
He really looks at the offense and coaches us the same way that he coached his running backs. It's about grit. You may come up to the line and the defense may show you something other than what you were expecting, but as long as we're on the same page and, we give max effort, we can make it happen. And the offense has really responded to that. He's really good at encouraging guys, especially on long weeks like this where we've been in full pads, we've been hitting, at finding something extra to go that extra inch to make it, to get that first down, to get that score, and I think it's going to translate.
Has it gotten you more motivated, would you say?
I think so. I think a lot of these guys were motivated. I was motivated, for the opportunity to be back out here. But it's good to have someone who's constantly in your ear reminding you of the minor details and reminding you that effort can make a difference.
What kind of value or stock do you put in Thursday, you just getting back between the white lines for the first time?
It's going to be interesting. It's been a while. I'm going to test some things out. Just going to go back and play football. Hopefully continue to knock off rust, continue to build chemistry, and continue to prepare for the season.
What are kind of some of the benchmarks, things that you really want to get accomplished in that game just to feel good about the recovery process?
Nothing specific. I want to execute the game plan. I want to have quick recall. When you're in the huddle like that for a long drive, you get tired. You gotta move around. I gotta move around to a lot of different positions, so I want my recall to be quick. I want to be able to move around, line up, and attack defenses and read those coverages.
DeMarcus Robinson has had some pretty impressive catches. How's he developed in your eyes?
He has done an excellent job. DeMarcus Robinson has done everything he's been asked to do, and he's starting to show a level of comfort that really translates to him being able to make a lot of plays. He's a guy who moves around really well. He's got good vision as a ball carrier, and they've had a lot of opportunities to utilize that. And as he continues to get comfortable, he's going to just keep getting better.
He said he might be the second fastest guy on the team behind Tyreek. Tremont says that he's the second fastest. What do you think?
I'll let my facial expression. I'm not going to get in that.
Even with Kelce and Kareem in the mix, there's only one ball. Just how do you think you guys are going to remain selfless when it comes to maybe certain games, certain people?
I actually think that that's something that I think the coaches and management upstairs really took care of when they drafted and brought in these guys. We brought in Sammy Watkins, his resume and what comes with that name. And Sammy has been my roommate all camp, and he's just one of the most humble guys and selfless dudes that I've been out here on the field with. The same goes for when I first came in here, the guys that we had in this locker room. The Chiefs have a great tradition of bringing in guys who are about team, and they all want to win. Don't get me wrong. We all want the ball. We all want to be able to influence the win. But at the same time, if our brother gets the ball, we're going to go out there and we're going to throw a block and get him in.
Chris, I know you as a deep thinker, and I say Sammy's the same thing. What kind of conversations have you guys gotten into?
We've gotten some crazy conversations. But Sammy's just a good guy to talk to really anything about. It can go from football to life.
to ethics, to food. You know, we have sat in our doorway of our dorm room and talked for probably a couple hours this camp, and it's been good to, you know, get to know that guy and know that's the guy I'm going to be going to battle with.
You got a young guy, Blake Mack, make the transition from tight end to wide receiver. You know, he's been picking your brain. What are you seeing that kid so far?
I see a guy who's big, who's learning that he's big. He's kind of getting the opportunity to use some of those physical tools out in space. It's different when you're in there at tight end. Trav is a guy, he's a hybrid. He can play outside, he can play like a receiver. Blake has to learn to do that. He has to learn to use that space, when to be subtle, when to be physical. And he's starting to pick some of those things up, and it's translating to plays.
That's Chris Conley, always a good conversation out at Chiefs camp. Whenever we come back, we're going to shift to the defensive side of the ball and hear from two other interesting players on this team. Both Breland Speaks and Kendall Fuller had a lot to say. We'll hear from them next year on Chiefs Central.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Fabrisco, getting you caught up on anything you may have missed from Chiefs camp. Again, the news of the day is that Daniel Sorensen is out for a while. He had a knee injury, not an ACL tear, but a knee injury that is going to hold him out probably into the regular season, being the most recent report. The actual comeback time still up in the air a little bit, but that's the big news of the day. We've heard from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes already, 810WHB.com for the podcast if you haven't seen it yet, or you can tweet me or tweet the station at JB Briscoe or at Sports Radio 810. The podcast will be out there soon, if it's not already. If you're not listening to this on the podcast, I guess it depends on how you're listening to the show. But if you want to hear what Andy Reid had to say and Patrick Mahomes had to say today, go grab the podcast. If you want to hear some other exciting things and interesting things that you missed from this weekend or Monday, stay right here, because we're going to hear from Breland Speaks and Kendall Fuller. Let's go ahead and start with Kendall Fuller, because I really liked the first question to him. He was asked what he's looking for whenever he covers Tyreek Hill, and I think he gave us some good insight on what it's like to cover the man who now goes by the Cheetah.
Thinking about whether or not I'm going to have my safety. Thinking about whether or not I have droppers underneath to use leverage. You know, just kind of, you know, in this game, you want to keep the ball underneath for you. So as best you can, and limit the deep shots and use your help when you can. And, you know, all those pre-snap reads that you kind of think about.
So it's no different when you're covering him than anybody else?
I mean, not really. You definitely think about it, you know, just the speed, that they're going to take shots from him a little bit more. But, you know, no matter who you line up against, you got to be aware of all that stuff.
That play where he got you on the seven, in the seven, yeah. On seven, is there something you could have done realistically? To
use outside leverage more, so, you know. By me letting him get outside, you know, the QB is able to put the ball away from the safety. You know, if I force him inside, you know, maybe my safety can get over there and I can be on his high shoulder to limit him outrunning me and things like that. So just little stuff like that. So it's all good work.
What's been the best part about the game, particularly with Chris Kyle and DeMarcus kind of there in that slot position?
I mean, I like how they kind of move all those guys around, so you get a good look. You know, sometimes you got Tyreek in there where you get speed. You get Chris in there where, you know, he's good with his hands, real physical. The market is a little bit more shiftier, so, you know, you're getting all those looks compared to seeing just one person every single day. So I'm enjoying it.
Is Steve Nelson impressed in camp so far?
So, I mean, Steve's been impressive since LTA. You know, he's been a guy that's just, he's hungry. He's ready to go out there, ball, and make some plays. So, you know, we all going to keep on competing, keep on getting each other better, and, you know, hit full stride when the season's done.
Chris had mentioned with this, I think, last week, that there are times where, and I think you said before, where you want to sort of exchange strategy or why someone did something, and you're covering them and what you provided in coverage. When did you start developing that sort of chemistry with guys, whether it was here or in Washington?
I mean, I think that's just part of football. You know, you see certain stuff. You know, one of them guys getting in, you know, I'm going to go ask them what you see. Because, I mean, any day we're competing against each other, but at the same time, we're on the same team, trying to get each other ready for Sundays. So, you know, if they get me, I'm going to go ask them a question. You know, if I kind of get a good rep on them and they got a question, you know, I'm going to tell them what I was doing, tell them what I was seeing, and things like that.
Whose brain are you picking out there?
there in the secondary?
Everybody. I think one thing I learned when I come in, you know, everybody has their strengths, everybody has their weaknesses. You know, you get guys who, you know, excel at one thing, you pick their brain about that. So anytime you find somebody with a strength, you know, you just try to add that to your game. So just really just everybody, with Steve, DB, Am, Al is big, just knowing how we think, you know, him playing the game before and things like that, so that's definitely big.
First team defense probably won't see a lot of time Thursday, but what are you really wanting to get out of this first preseason game?
Go against a different color jersey. But end of the day, you know, we just talk about every snap, you just got to go out there and compete. So really just going out there and compete.
Couple more, guys.
What are you taking away from getting away from the facility coming up here to camp?
I mean, it's fun. It's not too much different. You know, I think I told somebody the other day, one thing that my brothers and kind of veterans kind of told me, you know, at least the season is going to be 16 to 20 weeks. You know, so 16 out of 20 weeks, you can really just give it your all. Just set everything aside for them 16 to 20 weeks, knowing that after that, you got all the free time in the world. So 16 to 20 weeks is all about ball.
As a vet, do you still get nervous? Do you still get excited for preseason games?
Yeah, if you look at it right now, I'm not nervous. I think when I was a rookie, I was probably nervous right now. But before the game, you know, you're always, I'll say butterflies, not really nervous. But, I still get butterflies to that first play, once the first play happens.
That's Kendall Fuller, and please forgive me for zooming past Fuller on to our next member of the team who spoke to the media in St. Joe, but I want you to get to hear from Breland Speaks, because I think he's a really interesting dude that we haven't heard enough of yet. Although Stephen St. John did have a conversation with him on the Border Patrol a week or two ago. If you're going to go to the 810 to 810WHB.com for some podcasts, go find that one also, because he is very interesting. And he was interesting again here in this clip as well. He was asked out in St. Joe if his demeanor and his personality turn up to a different level come game time.
Yeah, I feel like me, regular, and me on the field are two different people. I'm definitely out there having fun. That's one thing I like to do, make sure I have fun. I heard you got to be a little crazy to play defense, so, you know, I'm a little throwed off.
What is it about between the white lines that gets you just a little bit more intense?
I think it's just the heat of the battle. One man versus another, not allowing somebody else to beat me. So, I mean, I feel like if somebody beats me, they beat me as a man, and they can't help it. So, yeah.
Where does the crazy come
from? I don't know. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what to give you. It's just switch flips, and somebody here gotta get taken off.
What have you learned from guys like Justin and the veterans that you've taken with you so far?
Definitely take care of your body. It's going to be a long season. That's what they keep reminding me of. They like what I'm doing so far, but they just keep reminding me, hey, you're going to have to play a lot of games now. So it's just make sure you take care of your body to be able to do that within the span of time.
You mentioned the coverage is a little bit of an adjustment for you. How's that going now to this point in camp?
I'm getting comfortable with it. I'm getting a lot more comfortable with it. Still got to make sure I stay disciplined and go through my reads, my pre-snap reads, seeing backfield sets, seeing wide receivers, stuff like that. But overall, I feel like I'm finally getting it.
Flipping that switch, that's something that's always been there for you. Playing is something that sort of developed over time.
I feel like it developed over time, definitely during college. And it's just now I have the wherewithal to know that when it's game time, like that switch is gonna get flipped. So that's all it is.
Freeland, do you think maybe coming out of school this year with the new helmet rule and the NFL kind of cracking down on that, you know, you'd always had to maybe fear of a targeting penalty in college. Do you think rookies are maybe a bit more prepared to handle that?
I think so. We go through a whole lot more, better tackling techniques. Not really using your head, putting your head across the body, not really trying to hit helmet to helmet. So I feel like the awareness for now
is at all time high, and our coaches definitely make sure that we're doing it the right way.
I feel like you have a pretty good idea of what they're asking
you
to do.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
We wanted to talk earlier in camp about the transition we're making. For you, has it got to the point now where you're still sort of thinking through things, or is it kind of more natural to just sort of play and react?
Right now, I'm just playing and reacting. Pretty much got the playbook down for the most part. We got a lot of calls in, but got the playbook down for the most part, and now I'm actually able to go through my pre-snap reads to the tackle. I'm actually able to see if it's running pass, if the back's away from me. I know what protection they're giving me, stuff like that, stuff that I've been waiting to be able to do. I just have to learn to call defense first.
What did that sort of click for you? I mean, did you sort of notice the difference in the way you're able to play now that that sort of thing
came? Yeah, I feel like it changed for me probably. As soon as we got the pads on, those bullets start flying, so you got to be prepared to play. And overall, I feel like it's just been bit by bit. I make sure I'm in my playbook every night. I make sure I go through my calls, different personnels we're in that I'm a part of, stuff like that. And overall, just making sure I know what I got to do the next day.
How anxious or excited are you to get to Thursday night to see another team?
Not really anxious. We come out here, work hard every day. I feel like there's going to be another work day for me. I'm excited to see how it goes.
That's it for Breland Speaks. That's also it for us here on Chiefs Central tonight on Sports Radio 810. Please come back tomorrow night about this same time. I'm very excited to get to talk about an actual football game. Tomorrow night's Chiefs Central will be all about what you should be looking for in the next day's preseason game. In Thursday night's preseason game, what is it that you should be keeping your eyes out for? That will be the full extent of tomorrow's show, tomorrow's edition of Chiefs Central. Thanks to Beard McFly for running the show all night for us. And I've been Joshua Briscoe this whole time. Just me, nobody else. I don't know why I felt the need to sign off that way. Talk to you again tomorrow night about this time. Bye, Mom!
The official broadcast partner of your AFC West champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Sports Radio 810 WHB.